which may be of interest for everybody, which is dealing with low-cost ICT to bridge a digital divide. So please.
Okay. So for people who are staying in the room, excuse me, we're going to talk about, just present a project that we are starting that has some relevance to what was discussed today.
So this workshop is going to be along the lines of the preceding workshop. In fact, it is, we are going to go into concrete action to bridge a digital divide and to make roadmaps in order to bridge a digital divide in a bottom-up way. That means that all stakeholders are going to be involved in the requirement, in building, making the requirements of the device to this end. So I think in the beginning we are going to present one of the major partner of the coordinator, in fact, of this project, which is W3C. We can tell you more about the Mobile Web Initiative. And after that, we can go back, I will go back, to the way that this bottom-up process, in fact, is going to be built.
Okay. So my name is Daniel Dardaillé. I work for the World Wide Web Consortium, W3C, which you may already know. Because it's the organization that provides standard, open technical standard for the web. So if you're using HTML or XML or HTTP, you're using W3C technology. So it's a non-for-profit international organization with partners on various places, and we're conducting different kinds of projects. One of the best known that has been mentioned here is the Accessibility for People with Disability project called WAI. That's an example of project at W3C that was funded by both the industry, you know, the membership of W3C, Microsoft, IBM, but also the European Commission in partnership, but also NIDER or DARPA in the United States, and also grant funding from various national places. So it's already an example of project that was successful. We have produced guidelines that have an impact on people's life in accessibility. And now W3C has started a few years ago another initiative similar to the Web Accessibility Initiative called the Mobile Web Initiative, MWI. And this project is also funded partly by the membership, you know, the big mobile vendor like Nokia, Ericsson, they are all members of W3C, so they provide funding for this activity. But also, again, the European Commission and national funding. And this year, we're getting some additional funding from the Commission to do outreach and try to talk to the people in South America and Africa about the way they use the mobile phone for accessing information. Because we have this project that has produced best guideline on web mobile access that is both accessible, you know, to people with disability and also is device independent, support internationalization needs, and this is really a good platform and a good use of this standard work, if you want. So we're going to have a workshop and events and use our network of W3C offices that we already have. We have opened an office in South Africa, one in Brazil last month, and we're going to open more offices in Africa, in South America, to have real partner, long-term partners. Our offices are people that usually organizations that are in the community of the web in a particular country, but usually cover more of the information society area. So we're going to look for partners and have a project that is going to look from the W3C point of view, mostly at the mobile use, but also as part of the project, we're going to use the laptop use, of course. You know, one laptop per child program has to be part of this study as a different ways of providing low-cost ICT access. So these are the two main activities that we're going to conduct, and also look at the problem with the infrastructure for web access. You know, question of bandwidth and last mile issue are already looked at from different point of view at W3C, and we're going to look at that from a developing country point of view now. You want to add something? There is not yet a public web page for the project. The best you can find is a description on the IGF website for this slot. You know, we ask the IGF secretariat to have an open slot to present the project at the beginning of the week, so it's really not something completely baked yet. So the project is starting in January 2008 and will last for 18 months. And you know, during those time, we'll probably have more outreach about exactly what we're going to do in which part of the world, and on which particular topic we're going to put the focus of W3C's and all the partners' attention. So W3C is the coordinator of the project. It's actually ERSIM, the European organization hosting W3C, which is the sort of the coordinator of this project. And we are based in Sofia Antipolis in south of France for most of the team working on the project. This is where W3C has its European site, if you want. So if you want to know more about W3C, you can just go to the, while waiting for the public description of the project, you can go to the w3.org site and go to the MWI. You'll find Mobile Web Initiative on the homepage, and you'll find your way to the developing country agenda that we and the roadmap that we're looking at.
Yes, thank you, Daniel. So in fact, this forum will be an illustration of the sentence we have heard so many times in the WISIS, which is from word to action. In the beginning, this will be an inclusive consultation of all the stakeholders in order to have the requirements, not to have some device which are built up from the lab, but in fact from the requirement from the people. So it will be an inclusive consultation of all stakeholders. And this will take, in fact, part in the context of the World Summit of Information Implementation in the C2 Infrastructure Action Line. Also, we are going to build this in the framework of the access theme of the Internet Governance Forum, and also in consultation of the UN Global Alliance Initiative. So so there is a sharp contrast in building this roadmap with other approaches where in fact we've been criticized at top-bottom. This will be a bottom-up approach. So this is one thing. The other thing is going to be an evaluation of existing technology. The W3C is going to make the evaluation of the mobile technology. And we are going to make an evaluation of the laptop technologies, for example, the LPC, also the Intel. And in this context, I would like to mention an exciting possibility. So we are making the roadmaps. We are not yet, in fact, making the device itself. It is a roadmap mapping. It's a short project. And hopefully, there should be a wider, larger, better funded EU project after this support action has ended. One exciting technology I would like to convey to you is like the fact that all the processors which are on the mobile, most of them are made by a company conceived, more exactly, by a company called IRM, which is based in Europe, in UK more exactly. And these devices are very low cost. It is possible, and we are going to evaluate this. We are not saying that it will be the case, but it is an evaluation of it. That there is a new class of products which has been developed by this company. And with these new products, for example, I don't want to go too much into the detail, technical details, but for example, the SDMA controller, now you have multi-core processor, it is possible to build a very low-cost, low-power consumption device. So maybe, and we're going to evaluate this, maybe we are on the verge of some kind of revolution, technical revolution in terms of low-cost device, low power device, to be accessed. So to give you just an example of what the feedback could be, the project, for example, of MIT, which has been criticized as a top-bottom process, I heard, for example, the Minister of Algeria with their initiative of one laptop per home, OLPH. So this is a different approach, maybe a little more realistic in the environment of a developing country. For example, there is the question of the keyboard. Every people I speak with, for example, OPC, they are finding the keyboard too small. The cost of having a larger keyboard, in fact, is not the issue, because you can have it. But they have designed the product to have the keyboard to match with the size of the screen. So do we have to have, in fact, and this will be part of the consultation, do we need to have, in fact, the keyboard to be the same size of the screen for, I will say, more aesthetical purpose than practical purpose? So just to give you an idea, what kind of feature do we need? Do we need Wi-Fi? I think we need it. Do we need to have, for example, the possibility to have a device to read the CD or DVD, which are quite power hungry? Is that to be integrated, to be separated? And how we can, in fact, involve the localization, internationalization? What could be the software involved, for example, the mobile web? How I think if there is the problem of the laptop, the mobile laptop convergence, so how, in fact, we can do that? In fact, this low-cost laptop could be also like a phone. This is possible with this technology. And how we can have a continuous range of products from the mobile to the laptop. We can conceive the laptop as a docking station to your mobile. You know, so there is a very wide range of possibilities that we are going in this project to evaluate with, in fact, consultation to the civil society, but also very importantly with the government of developing country and all government, because since they are the one who are going to order them, it's quite natural that they will be involved in the design to have some input into this. So they can say, okay, it is also part of our work. So
one thing that I want to mention that I heard at the previous session is the importance of involvement of the private sectors in developing countries, because they are the operators of networks usually, and it's important that they are part of the picture when we talk about services such as web access and any kind of use of online information. So W3C and the existing MWI, the Mobile Web Initiative, is already driven by a steering committee which has the private sector, of course, represented, because they are sponsoring the current activity. And so we plan on using this sort of critical mass of already private sector actors, which are mostly from the north, but are multinational organizations like Vodafone or whatnot. So they probably have also good partnership with the local operators, and we'll have more synergy with W3C in being involved in this kind of project than some of the projects that have happened before. That's one of the expectations, is to use sort of our already sort of club of people doing mobile activity in the north to help understand what we can do better in the south, in a sense. So that's a bit what we're going to look at. And again, we have this horizontal activity at W3C that are sort of forced onto all the other technical activities, such as accessibility, testing, internationalization, device independence, and those sort of horizontal cross W3C standard activity will be also brought into this project. So we always have this requirement that all the technology that we're promoting or designing have the necessary plug-in and hook and whatnot in terms of technology to accommodate people with disability and any kind of languages, of course, and script and things like that.
So feedback from the audience. Any questions? Yes, if you have any questions. Okay, you.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I am very excited at this possibility because I have attended a few sessions where the issue of software for mobiles were discussed. And I did ask, what's the trend for the hardware? I am from Nigeria, and we have done some work in rural use of mobile phones. And what we found was, because of the level of literacy in these communities, using SMS, which is the cheaper end, is not affordable. It's not possible for people who are not literate, and especially for people who have very strong oral culture. They prefer talking. So hardware and software that would combine this cultural preference for talking at an affordable rate would be something great for them. And then it also occurs to me that if you are able to get something that the illiterate person can use, you will also be addressing the problem of somebody with eyesight problem, blind or partially blind or whatever. So you could have a device that now addresses two populations, the illiterate, the people with poor sight, and so on. And for my community, the illiterate are a large population at that bottom of the pyramid. And with the rate at which mobile devices are growing, they are still being left out. So there is a huge market, if you like, that's not been explored. And there's this exclusion that keeps growing at that level as well.
Okay, that's very right what you're saying. We have an activity started 5 years ago at W3C called multimodal access to the web. So it's exactly the problem you mentioned, that you have now a device in front of you, a phone that has a keyboard, a screen, a voice output, and a voice input. Right, so you can mix all those modalities to provide the best experience for the user. So if you don't want to look at a screen, you prefer to hear something through an earplug or something, then you select voice output. Right, so it is the same design problem as for providing access for a blind person. You don't want to look at a screen, or you can't look at a screen, so you want voice output. And it's also the same problem for people that can't read. Illiterism, or in a sense, you have to understand that people that are deaf, they are often also unable to read, because reading is part of a language that they don't have, because they are mute, usually, as well as deaf. So really the problem of translation from one modality to the other, so from textual to voice, or from graphic to textual, or from voice to textual, is the sort of the good design of the web problem. Is if people were all doing this kind of good design, we would have, you know, all the tools in place to do what kind of transformation we want. But nevertheless, the problem of multimodality and access with disability and device independence, access in the car, access on the phone, they are all the same technological problem. So W3C has solution for those, and we're now pushing the solution to different kind of domain, in a sense.
Morning, Badru from Uganda. Badru Ntege from Uganda. I like some of the things I hear. However, once again, seem to have a solution, a vision to create a solution for the less developed parts of the world who have particular needs and understand their needs. But you're still, in your presentation, you're still talking a lot about bringing the knowledge in. We have a lot of young engineers on the continent who have the ability to actually deliver some of the solutions you want, in terms of they just need the facilitation. So instead of bring the assistance, the facilitation in terms of technical assistance, maybe some tutoring. However, the universities on the continent have enough people who can actually deliver some of the things that their local people need a lot faster than the process that has been always done all over the time. One interesting thing I found when I come to this part of the world is when you pick up a mobile phone, a new phone, it has something like 6 or 7 local languages already in it. And a simple thing is, a lot of the African users who use the phones can actually do the translations, because there's not a lot of the content. But how do they get that content into the phones? Well, we talked about localization. We need to start using the local talent on the areas that we're trying to serve to actually achieve our objectives a lot faster than trying to bring people in who try to understand. So you spend a lot of time trying to understand the problem, then find a solution for the problem. Yet you have the people who already understand the problem, maybe even have the solution, but don't have the ability. So I think W3C should focus a lot on actually looking at the technical universities we have. A lot of the kids, if I look at least in Uganda, if I look at 80% of the project proposals from the at the university, they're trying to do something to do with the SMS, but there's not too much. But you could broaden that, and from that get some of the solutions that we're looking for. And I just think that's what we need to start looking at. Get some local people, and don't focus on South Africa alone. South Africa does not represent the problems of the continent. The mistake a lot of the Western companies do when they come to Africa, they land in South Africa and they stop there. That's not where the problems are. The problems are on the rest of the continent. South Africa is not really fully representative of the continent's needs. When I go to South Africa, it's the same as being in London or anywhere in Europe half the time. So it's really not representative of the challenge you're facing. Base yourself in another part of the continent, not South Africa. Then we will know that you actually have a mission. Thank you.
Just a quick reply. So our partner in the project, which is the W3C office, is the Southern African W3C office. Not just South Africa, it's actually all the region. It's five different countries defined by the UN as the Southern Africa. But the important thing is not that South Africa is the richest country, you know, in the area. So they are not the one with the needing more help. It is the fact that they already have a good experience of bringing the information society in the field, in small villages. They have made different initiative already, like Digital Frontier, where it's a completely different approach than the laptop of the mobile. If you look at it, if you go to the Meraka website, you'll look at pictures that are quite amazing of laptop that are not laptop, actually, they are tower, you know, regular PC that are put in metallic boxes that looks like a bunker. And everything is sort of like, waterproof and sandproof. There is no internet. It's just Wikipedia on a CD on a desktop in somewhere in a village that is sort of screwed to the concrete in the ground so that people don't steal it. Basically, they have made years of update of the system to provide access to Wikipedia to people in their language. And the only thing they find out is that in order for the machine to stay more than a couple of months in the village, they have to, you know, really attach it to the ground. So this is an experience, because in some part of Africa and in different towns, you're going to need completely different initiative, and the laptop may be the right place. In other places, the mobile coverage give you the mobile. So there are different options, and we are working with the people that have explored already some option. And they may be in South Africa, they may be in Ghana, in Senegal, in Mali. I mean, it's open. We're not. It's just that at the level of the European Commission, we have a partner in South Africa. And the other thing I want to mention is that the project that we're starting and that we usually do at W2C have a long-lasting effect. You know, if we've been funded already to start offices in other parts of the world 10 years ago or 5 years ago, and those offices are still running. You know, the funding stopped, but we put in place a process where the office actually is self-financed and has a reason to leave after the project.
Oui, je vais laisser la parole en français au représentant de la République du Togo, et ensuite I will translate. It is a representative of Republic of Togo, and the question I'm going to ask is how, for example, is government would like to be involved in the definition of the requirement of such device to bridge the digital divide. Sont donc il va nous faire connaître comment son gouvernement, en fait, son appréciation, comment il désirerait être impliqué dans la définition de ces paramètres de ces appareils pour combler le fossé numérique.
Oui, merci beaucoup. Je crois que d'abord, c'est une initiative à féliciter. Et pour notre part, nous pensons qu'il y a beaucoup de choses à faire dans ce domaine, surtout que, par exemple, au Togo, l'utilisation des mobiles a une progression, je dirais, exponentielle. c'est un outil qui, même ceux, je dirais, les illettrés, excusez-moi le thème, utilisent au portable. Donc, c'est un produit facilement accessible aux populations. Et c'est assez utile dans la mesure où ça répond aux besoins immédiats des populations. Donc, nous pensons que, à notre niveau, comme l'utilisation est déjà dans les habitudes et que, bon, peut-être l'extension dans le sens où on devait toucher, par exemple, l'aspect de W3C, c'est-à-dire l'accessibilité aux sourds, aux malentendants et à tous ceux qui ont des déficiences, n'est pas vraiment possible, surtout en Afrique. C'est assez difficile pour les gens qui ont les handicaps d'avoir ces ressources. Nous pensons qu'il y a quand même des actions à mener en direction à travers, par exemple, vos projets pour atteindre ces populations. Bon, néanmoins, comme le disons nous à notre niveau, toutes ces actions sont dans l'ensemble des stratégies à mettre en œuvre. Bon, c'est vrai, il y a par exemple l'aspect fracture numérique. Maintenant, l'accessibilité, l'utilisation par exemple du mobile et des portables, toutes ces actions doivent être vraiment définies dans la stratégie. Malheureusement, pour l'instant, on n'est pas encore à ce niveau, mais nous pensons quand même qu'il y a matière pour aller dans cette direction. Surtout qu'au niveau des portables, il y a une utilisation assez avancée. Je vous remercie.
So I'm going to translate, but just a summary. So we say that this initiative is welcome. In fact, there is an exponential growth of utilization of mobile in Africa and in Togo, yes, of course. And there is a specific problem with the people of disabilities because to access, and also the illiterate people. And in fact, with the W3C tool, in fact, this could be investigated. And he looks forward to be involved in, I think, in this project, I guess, no? C'est ça, oui.
Oui, bon, en fait, ce que je voulais dire, c'est que le ministère en charge de la définition de la stratégie est tout à fait ouvert à des propositions, assez impliqué dans toutes ces actions qui sont menées en la matière.
Yes, so the ministry is open to any collaboration in this matter. Merci, thank you very much.
Merci beaucoup.
I was also very keen about the suggestion about this low-cost, low-powered computer, because one of the major issues of access is power.
Ah, exactly.
Because that increases the cost of access and makes it inaccessible to other people.
Yes.
That's why I think this idea of a bottom-up approach will help address an issue of technology transfer, which he was mentioning. We are evaluating one of these laptops which uses 8.5 watts of power. It is low powered, but the cost is very high. But at least it has given our team and the young boys and young people we are working with hands-on experience of bringing in the various components and putting it together. And in addition to that, instead of a metal box, it uses a wooden case, which is from a renewable source. So in a way, by going bottom up, you're beginning to really, apart from transferring technology, you're creating jobs and going for a product that is actually a long term more sustainable.
Okay. So
yeah. The other thing that I want to mention is that we've already run two workshops in developing countries, one in Bangalore in India. I think it was last year. Over spring and one in the fall for ICT Africa, I think it was in Kenya. And we've actually learned a lot from those workshops. You know, we were coming to the workshop with some solution, but we've learned a lot on the way people in Africa use mobile that we don't even know exist in the north. Like they use their mobile and exchange time on the mobile as a way of a currency. You know, you buy something, I give you 5 seconds of something. And it's important to look at that, the way the bank look at it, the way the operators of mobile services look at it, as a way for doing micropayment for the planet, just not for Africa. So what are the actors, what are the The system is changing, apparently. We've been tracking that. The system is changing now because people, as soon as you provide people with a service like that, they realize that because the service is not open, you cannot do the same thing with different operators. So if you have one, you know, operator, I can do this sort of payment with you, but if you have another operator, I cannot. And the reason is that because the system is not open, there is no interoperability. So we also want to use the sort of the W3C, you know, recognition of open standard promotion to also push this agenda of using open standard and having the effect of some nice application being sort of, you know, exponential in a sense.
Yes, I would like to go back to the problem of low power, which is, I think, very, very important. On one side of the North country is a problem of ecology consumption, and on the country in the source is a question of viability of the technique itself. In fact, with this technology, the paradox is currently that the laptop with a low power consumption are extremely expensive. So this is a paradox, because in fact they're going back from the traditional laptop technology, and they try to, in fact, to adapt it exactly what's going on. In this case, if it is a technology we are going to evaluate, it is exactly the reverse. We empower, in fact, a technology which is built in with, in fact, a control of power. So I don't want to go into much detail, but in fact, they have weight state, and the weight state with ultra-low power consumption. You don't have this in traditional processors. What they try is to downgrade the speed of it, in fact, which lower the power of the device. So I think it's a very, very important point which I've never been so much taking into account so far. And your old PC problem, we have been suffering. For example, we learn in the newspaper that they are trying to power with cores and everything. We have heard of this in India, for example. So I think it is a very important. I'm glad you see that is a very important point. So, if there is a.
So I think we're going to stop there. If you don't have any more questions, on the website you have our email address, and if you keep track of the W3C home site, you'll probably find the announce of the launch of the project and the website for this project if you want to keep up track.
And of course, since I think the distinguished representative of UNESCO went there, in fact, this feedback, global feedback from the world, in fact, UNESCO is much welcome to give us a feedback in order to build better requirements for this new device. So I think it's very important. This is Yes, so it's very important this to be an inclusive, bottom-up process where all organizations, international organizations, for example, are involved. So I will leave the word of the end, so when I begin, to Daniel.
Okay, so thanks for coming, and if you have any other question, we'll be around. And again, I mean, everything is going to be on the web from the W3C site, and we'll have also a website for the project very soon now. So it was really like a pre-announcement. We finished the negotiation of the project last week with the commission, so it's really starting. That's about it. Thanks.